بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So inshallah we'll be coming, we're sort of coming to the end. Next week I won't be able to have a class. I have some other lectures, public lectures, masjid lectures that I'm giving. And also Umrah lecture as well. So that sort of will take a bit of my time, along with all the other responsibilities and whatnot. So because of that, I won't be able to attend next week. At that time, I'll be at a center and there's a few lectures anyway. So inshallah, I'll be delivering a lecture there. So unfortunately, I'll miss the session next. There will be no session next week. And the last session will be the week after, inshallah. So, and after that, hopefully everything goes well. I'll be going for Umrah with a group from Australia. Bismillah. All right. Some of the regulars are not here. Okay. Let's get started. ولا تنكرن جهلا ولا تنكرن جهلا نكيرا ومنكرا ولا الحوض والميزان إنك تنصح. And do not reject out of ignorance belief in nakir and munkar. Generally we say munkar and nakir, or the two angels that ask the question in the grave, or the pool, the haud, the pond, or the scales that will weigh the deeds. Surely you are being advised sincerely. Right. Is the audio coming through clearly? Just got a little concerned that okay, good. That's the more important part. Right. Munkar and Nakir. Two angels in the grave, they are a fitna, a trial, a test for human beings. Regarding them, these are some of the things that we'll cover now, the sama'iyat, the things that we know regarding aqidah. They're in aqidah, they divide into this section, that can only be known via Quran and Sunnah. So these are matters, specific details related to the unseen, that it happening now or will happen in the future, that we cannot know through our senses. So for example, Munkar Nakir is right now. People are dying and they're getting questions, but we cannot experience this directly. And also, you know, what happens on the Day of Judgment? Like for example, the Hawd is on the Day of Judgment, or the scale of our deeds being weighed, that's something that we experience. These are, we given this advanced information regarding that. The ayat of Quran, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. You know, Allah makes the believer steadfast with the firm word of faith in this worldly life and the hereafter. And this is, you will see that in all the books about the graves, like even if you look at Ahwal al-Qubur, Horrors of the Grave, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, right at the start, he starts off with this ayat al-Quran to affirm the questioning of the grave and also the azab of the grave as well. There are groups that have come throughout history, denied azab of the torment in the grave. These angels, Munkar and Nakir, why they're an aqidah thing? Because they've come to us with tawatur. You know, so it's not a small matter or some like one or two hadith. It's come through tawatur, hence it's taken extremely seriously. This ayat is in Surah Ibrahim. And there are many variations of the hadith. Also, so many hadiths are narrated regarding this. More than 50 sahaba narrated this, you know, so 57, I believe, that so therefore, you know, it's not up for discussion whether there is Munkar and Nakir, question the grave, or Azab the grave as well. All these matters are. And if you want to know Ahwal al-Qubur, the horrors of the grave, I think Turas, I might have mentioned before, I think Turas or White Thread, one of the two, they've done a translation of it. I did like a series on it, tried my best. People seem to like it, benefit, hopefully they benefit from it, very appreciative of it. But the book version, obviously, go to the book. And that explains, there's ikhtilafi matters in there amongst the Hanbalis on matters to do with the grave. So One of the hadith that's narrated that when a person is placed in the grave and his companions leave, then he can hear the footsteps of his sandals and the two of his friends. So can the dead hear? Well, this is one of the leaves. The dead can hear what's going around them. These two angels get, what did you say about this man, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If a mu'min, he said, amantu, I believe that indeed he's a slave of Allah and his messenger. Then they said, look into the, seat in the fire. Allah has replaced it with a seat in the Jannah. If he's a Yahudiya came to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said, may Allah protect you from the punishment of the grave. She said, yeah, she asked Rasulullah sallam, will people be punished in the grave? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just reading the go to the he said, you will be tested in the graves, like you be, the Dajjal will be a test, like a fitna, right? Excuse me, just mute for a second, I'm going to sneeze. Alhamdulillah. And he goes, after that, Rasulullah mentioned this to me. He used to seek refuge from the torment of the fire and the torment of the grave. The Mu'tazila, and there's other variation hadith, you know, the well-known one that the person will be, a mu'min will be asked, they said, Rabbi Allah. The question is, who is your Rabb? These Munkar and Nakir will ask these questions, right? That who is your Rabb? What is your deen? And who is your prophet, right? In short. And, my Rabb is Allah, my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my deen is Islam, right? Then, these are the fundamentals, the cause, right? The things that we should be working on and make sure that they're very deeply entrenched in our heart and mind, inshallah. And Allah give us tawfiq that we answer these questions properly. So some of the narration mentioned the question asked, the mu'min will answer, the munafiq or the kafir will say, ha ha la adri, like in shock, bewilderment, is I don't know. Other than versions, there's if you look at Ahwal al-Qubur, there's variations in there of the wording. He puts many of the riwayat. So, some will say, I used to say, I don't know. I used to say what people used to say, right? So it tells you about the condition of a person who just follows without understanding or believing, actually, like just because you're with people. So this person will be, you know, he's just copying what other people are doing, the wrong things, without thinking. I just used to say what people used to say, you know. So a mu'min has to be alert. He has to be awake. Everybody wants to be awake these days, especially Americans, but I think we're catching that from you as well. But a mu'min has to be awake. Ibn Qayyim in his kitab Madarij Salikin, you know, in the first chapter he inshallah you're awake, not work. The first thing that he puts on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Madarij Salikin. The first chapter is Yaqda, right? The waking up literally means to wake up, to be awake. And then the second chapter is Tawbah. First thing is the realization, I'm a slave of Allah. Qiyamah is coming, Allah, judgment is coming. There's a, this life is concept, where how I live this life is, you know, my akhirah, my eternity is predicated on this world, like this, the life that I live in this world. So the person wakes up to the reality of his maqsad and his purpose and who he is, that he's a slave of Allah and his purpose and the reason for his existence, right? It's called the yaqda, the waking up, right? The person is not just like an automaton just moving through life in a robotic fashion, just copying what other people are doing. Their priorities become his priorities, their life is, you know, just keep yourself with the Joneses. That's what he's made his maqsa, just like an animal, you know, house, car, children, wife, whatever, you know, those normal things that even animals many times do that as well. So in regards to Munkar and Nakir, Mu'tazila, they denied them and objected to their names. Ibn Qayyim Rahmullah, you know, refuted them in his Kitab al-Ruh, a worthwhile read, very interesting work of Ibn Qayyim Rahmatullah, one of my favorite authors. You probably notice I quote him a lot because I like his books. My father, Rahmullah, said that Ibn Taymiyyah was, Rahmullah, was original, but Ibn Qayyim had a lot longer breath. So when he starts explaining something, it really like goes to, by the end of it, he's answered all the questions that you thought you had. He's over explained it and like Wallah Alam, and in a good way I'm talking about. And then you have more questions as well. So like he really opens up the field or a topic that he does like deep dives, put it that way, into an issue. Rahmatullah ta'ala. The next thing that's mentioned in the line in the poem is walal hauda wal mizan haud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "My lake found." So there's something different translation. My pond. One of the translations is lake found, because when we say pond, it means something very small generally. But then you know, like between the British and English, you know, British and Americans, they say across the pond, referring to Atlantic Ocean. So you know, so how big is a pond? I mean, that's a more affectionate way when they talk about it, you know, like that we're actually really close to each other. But anyway, one of the translations, my lake found, let's call it pond, is so large that it takes a month's journey to cross it. Its water is whiter than milk and its smell is nicer than musk. And its drinking cups are as numerous as a number of stars of the sky, and whoever drinks it from will never be thirsty. Umar ibn al-Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, summoned me so I got a ride on a mule. He said, when he entered upon me, he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, my riding mule was troublesome for me." So he said, "O Abu Salam, I do not want to trouble you, but a hadith which you narrated from Thawban, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the Haud was conveyed to me, and I wanted to narrate it directly to me. I wanted you to direct." So Abu Salam said, "Thawban narrated for me that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my Haud is as large as from Aden to Amman of Al-Balqa. Its water is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Its cups are as numerous as the stars. Whoever drinks one drink from it, he will never be thirsty." And after that, again, the first people to arrive at it are the poor among the Muhajireen, with disheveled dust, disheveled heads, dirty clothes, those whom the women of favor would not marry, nor would the doors be opened for them. Umar said, "But I have married a woman of favor and the doors are open for me. I married Fatima bint Abdul Malik. I shall certainly not wash my head until it is disheveled, nor wash my garment which touches my body until it becomes dirty." Right? So, you know, this is, he wanted to be in these people to get this reward. I'm just, apologies, just give me 1 second. My battery is low. I'm just going to put the charger. Give me 1 second. And there's a narration, Imam Ahmad has narrated that Allah has promised me that from my ummah 70,000 will enter Jannah without any accounting. And Yazid ibn Akhnas Sulami said, you know, that basically these will be very, you know, as a rare thing. And then and said that indeed, I was promised 70,000, and with every 70,000 is 70,000. And I was given also three handfuls. And so he was asked the question, "What is the expanse of your pond, your Hawd, O Prophet of Allah?" And it says, "Between Aden and Amman." So this is, you know, Yemen and, you know, you can say Jordan. Basically, the whole size of the Arabian Peninsula. I mean, that's probably an easy way to remember on the map. Like in terms of, I mean, it's pretty much like we could say the size of Australia, something like that, or America or Canada, something along those lines, like something they're more familiar with maybe, or Europe, right? It's massive. And it's bigger than that. And Rasulullah ﷺ said that he has mathaban, two like spouts, one from gold, one from silver. And that its milk is whiter than milk. Its water is whiter than milk, and it's sweeter than honey, and smells better than musk. And whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty after that, and nor will his face be darkened after that. Right? SubhanAllah. So, like, when is the Hawd? Just some comment. I don't know if anybody denied the, I don't know. So where is the Hawd? Is there some difference of opinion about, is it before the Sirat or after the Sirat? So some say that like Imam Ghazali rahimahullah had the view that is before the Sirat, after the grave. There is a view, there's one before and one after. Imam, I believe it Qurtubi either said that or somebody, or he narrated it, that one is before, one is after. But the general view, the Qadi Iyad, Ibn Hajar, and other muhaqqiqin scholars, they say that it's after Sirat. There are the two waterfalls or the two spouts, like they're like waterfalls. They come from Jannah. So maybe that is the connection between the river of Kawthar, that connects to the pond of the Kawthar by these two waterfalls that come out of Jannah. And is it one Hawd or many Hawds? And because there is a narration about, you know, every in Tirmidhi, the narration is there that for every prophet will have his own pond. Right. So therefore, you know, there's a discussion. Is there one or many? Then the next thing that's mentioned is the scales. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the scales of the deeds being weighed, or the accounting, part of the accounting process, you could say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَدَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Surah Anbiya, ayat number 47. That we set up the scales of justice for the day of judgment, so no soul will be wrong in the least. And even if deed is the weight of a mustard seed, we'll bring it forth. And sufficient are we as vigilant reckoners. Just regarding the Munkar Nakir or the Hawd or even this Mizan discussion, it's a long, I was teaching it like last month. When it came to the Mizan, there was topics that I didn't even hear about, like what's actually going on Day of Judgment. There's even discussions about the scale of deeds. There's debates about, okay, if the amal are lifted up, so when the sins go down, if they're heavier, then the good deeds will go up. But then, do you understand? Like, if the good deeds go up, then the sins are like kind of lifted up as well. Then there's actually no movement. Some imams argue that the side that is more heavier, then it will glow. There's a nur, there'll be a light in the scale of that side, while in the other side there'll be darkness when that. And these are things we can actually imagine today as well. That's another interesting thing. And I was giving examples that we're just discussing it in class. Like, we have electronic weight scales that we stand on. There's nothing going up and down. I mean, there is at some level, you know, there's a mechanical part of it as well. But what you're seeing is what's to show you the weight, or even scales in supermarkets, there's a number that appears on the screen, right? Like a light appears on the screen. So there's all these interesting discussions in detailed books about the scale, what's going on. Because remember, these are, again, sam'iyat, these are from the things that we only know through wahi. There are things narrated and imams have put them meaningfully together, the tatbiq of them. Apparently they may look contradictory, but they're not, they make sense. And even in this issue of Hawd, Mizan and the scale, we'll see in a moment. So all of these issues that I mentioned here, they're all mutawatir, like they are narrated, you know, by a large amount of people from Rasulullah SAW and continuously so until the recorded books. There's a narration mentioned that a bulky person will be brought on the day of judgment and he will not carry the weight to the eye. So what's actually in the scale? What's actually weighed? Do you guys know? Or you know the discussion around it? Does anybody know? What's weighed in the what's weighed in the scales? Is it good deeds? So yeah, that's one deeds. Anything else? Good and bad, yeah. Deeds, good and bad, yeah. That's right. So this is one of the interesting discussions, right? Because what happened to the scrolls? Where your deeds are written. If your deeds are weighed, and how can you weigh deeds? Like what happens when you do a good deed? The angels write it, right? That's one thing. We know that. But how can you automatically said, and this is not, I'm not saying you're wrong, astaghfirullah azim, because this is a legitimate, there's this whole discussion around this. But I'm just, like you're saying deeds, but I'm just curious, like how would a deed be weighed? Because you just do an action and it disappears. The angels write it. But then how would the deeds be weighed? I'm just curious, just maybe you know the answer. Like these are like very interesting discussions about the day of judgment. Like what's the physics of the day of judgment? Or what's Allah created in the day of judgment? Like, I found Imam Safarini's sharh on this so interesting. There's so many interesting discussions there. That we were like, okay, like we don't know anything. Like we've made assumptions. They're actually quite detailed little subtleties and so forth. So in terms of the day of judgment, well, firstly, there's the hadith Jibril, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, hadith, the famous one. One of the things mentioned it is that to believe in Allah and the last day and so forth. And Mizan is also one narration mentions Mizan. And all of these things that we mentioned about Munkar and Nakir and the Mizan and the Hawd, these are mutawatir matters that we have to, all Muslims have to accept, right? So we'll be weighed. So there's three things. The Amal, the actual deed itself, as you have mentioned. The Amilun, the person themselves, will be weighed. And Sahaif, the scrolls where the deeds are recorded. The dalil for the person will be weighed. Does anybody know? You might have heard this hadith in speeches. Who was a sahabi with very thin legs, shins? And people looked at him and they were like kind of commenting how small his legs are. Yeah, so this is what I'm saying is there's a discussion. Basically, and Dr. Mutlak explains at the end, he says, basically all three are weighed. The person is weighed, the deeds are weighed, and the scrolls of the angels have written you good deeds, they're also weighed as well. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi, the Rasulullah said, you don't know the weight of these legs, these small legs that he had. He was a small statured person. And so he had very small, thin legs. You don't know the weight of these legs in the scale of deeds, like in the scale in the day of judgment. So from that is understood that the person, right, is weighed. The second about the registers, right? We know that the hadith of bitaqa, basically a small piece of the paper of scrolls. The person comes with just la ilaha illallah, and he's got 99 registers of sins that are spread as far as the eye can see, right? And that la ilaha illallah is brought and put in the, he has no injustice And he'll be asked, do you deny this? And he said, the scrolls, you know, he'll look at it. He goes, yeah, I did all of these things. And did the angels do any wrong to you? And he said, no. But that piece of paper with the Shahadatain will be brought and that'll be placed in the innocent and that'll make the other ones, like it'll be so heavy. And that person will be forgiven because of the layla, the ikhlas that he said it with, right? Or that whatever that came with that, like that he did because of that. But in the hadith, he just mentioned that he just Shahadatain. And that's this hadith is in Tirmidhi and other books. Right. So that means what's weighed is a scroll, the deeds are weighed. Right. And now, like I said, there's mysteries, right? Like we're trying to figure out with the way the world works that we know. But then there are things that are happening now that maybe help us understand certain things. Like I was explaining, we're just discussing in class and how, you know, trying to understand it with things that are around us, right? Trying to compare. Like when we read about the hadith we read about the view that the scale doesn't move. It's lights up, right? We've seen things like that, right? In our lifetime, we've seen things like that. Scales can work like that. So it's nothing far-fetched. It's actually probably more, we in this time and age where we can measure air pressure and things that were never measurable before. Or like you can get something to check these, like, you know, they got these tools to check whether a diamond, not checking the hardness of a surface. Right. So so many things are there that were never measurable. Now you can very easily measure, right? The pressure of water when you go under water or, humidity and, you know, temperature in the air and on and on and on. What we think were even intangible at one point, now they're very tangibly measured, right? So these are things that even like modern developments, they're not necessarily all bad. They help you understand certain things. And we're just discussing in class that, you know, like, do you know what pop-up books are? Children's pop-up books? Do you know what children's pop-up books are? Yeah, so they're like children, they have books, you open them up, and in the book, there's like a, you know, like a castle and a picture or character, whatever pops up, right? So that's like human beings have made that recently, a book for children last generation. They created something very beautiful where it's not just a book that you read, but in the book, there is like representation of what's in the words of the story, not just a picture, but a physical thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above these examples, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he can do is much greater. But it was just to help us understand, look, you can have one thing, a book, but in the book you can have another thing as well, right? So the third view is that the physical a'mal will be given a representation, a body, right? That'll be weighed in the scales, right? They'll come in a physical form. Allah knows best how that will be. Because we read all those hadiths, like, you know, certain surah will come like a bird in the grave or on day of judgment. We know that Surah Baqarah and or Quran itself will be a interceder. How is the Quran going to argue in a day of judgment in your favor to do shafa'ah for you, the one who recited the Quran often, right? So we'll get the a'mal, the good deeds, or in the qabr, certain a'mal will come and defend the person, on and on and on. So we understand from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of anything, there's no limitations for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creation, it cannot limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever, I'm basing this on simple, simplistic examples without my limited brain trying to understand this. But the deeds, a'mal, the a'mal, the sahaif, the scrolls, and the person himself will be weighed. And this is why, because of that hadith of bitaqa, you know, the piece of paper that is put with just shahada, that there's a dua that is narrated from the salaf, and which is that, Ya Allah, we have done the greatest deed that you've asked us to do, which is tawheed, which is iman in la ilaha illallah. And we have left the greatest sin, which is shirk, right? Forgive us for everything in between that. Reflecting on this hadith about the person who got 99 riches. Forgive us between all that is between that, all the other sins. Ya Allah, forgive us for all of that. And then there's another dalil for the deeds being weighed. The last hadith was Sahih Bukhari. Two statements that are very light on the tongue, very heavy. The two statements, they're very heavy in the scales, right? And this whole discussion Imam Bukhari has about that as well, quoting the ayat that I quoted as well. So thaqeel, it'll be very heavy. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah, azim. Very light on the tongue, very great and heavy in the scales. Very beloved to Rahman. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. And Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi tafsir said these are all three are correct, they're all sahih. Sometimes it could be this, sometimes that, and all three, right? Then Imam Ibn Abi Dawood, he gives something beautiful, which is an image, one sample of the sam'iyat, one of those things in Day of Judgment that we've been informed in many, many ahadiths. And وَقُلْ يُخْرِجُ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ بِفَضْلِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ أَجْسَادًا مِنَ الْفَحْمِ تُطْرَحُ عَلَى النَّهْرِ فِي الْفِرْدَوْسِ تَحْيَى بِمَائِهِ كَحَبِّ حَمِيلِ السَّيْلِ إِذْ جَاءَ يَطْفَحُ. So, and say, Allah the Great will remove due to His grace, out of the fire, people burnt severely who will then be tossed into the river in Firdaus, wherein they will regain life by its water, like a seed taken by a flood that comes and wipes things away with its abundant water. Right. So now we're talking about, like in the previous line, that a muwahid, our belief is that a muwahid, someone who has tawheed, is oneness of Allah, dies with a kalima, regardless of his sins, that eventually, even if he has to pay for his sins in Jahannam, he will exit the Jahannam and enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one of you will dispute more intensely for something that is rightly his in this world than the believers will dispute with their Lord for their brothers who have entered the fire. They will say, our Lord, our brothers used to pray with us and fast with us and perform Hajj with us and have caused them to enter the fire. He will say, go and bring forth whoever you recognize among them. So they will go to them and will recognize them by their appearance. Among them will be those who have been seized by the fire up to the middle of their shins, and some among them who it is taken up to his ankles, and they will bring them forth and they will say, our Lord, we have brought forth those whom you commanded us to bring forth. He will say, bring forth everyone in whose heart is faith, the weight of a dinar. And then he will say, everyone in whose heart is faith, the weight of a half a dinar, until he'll say, in whose heart is the faith, the weight of the smallest speck. Abu Sa'id said, whoever does not believe this, let him read the verse, verily Allah forgives not the partner should be set up with him, but he forgives except that anything else to whom he wills up to a tremendous sin. This is why it's very important. And early Muslims said, befriend the righteous, right? Find good people, Ahlullah, pious people, you know, where you find them, you might be, it's very, like people that are generally regular in the masjid, you'll find, just befriend them, be known to them. You know, my father, rahmullah, said before he passed away in the month, he gave many, many advice. But one of the advice he gave me is take care, because as an imam, you're responsible for many things in the community. He goes, take care of the people who are the regular musallis in the masjid, right? They're the ones who come quietly and they are there decades. I mean, I grew up in the masjid because my father was an imam. And I'll say I grew up because we live nearby and he was imam, so always there. There are people that I know 35 years that I've come into the masjid regularly, day in, day out, like they're in the masjid. That's not a small achievement. It's taqama, daily they're there in Fajr, right? So make sure you are, you know, have a good relationship with them. Even sometimes they upset you, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just, and they're not very, someone was, the other day was mentioning to me, you know, I don't feel welcome in the masjid. You know, I said, it's not about welcome. Like every Muslim is happy and they're positive. I said, the brothers that are coming regularly to the masjid, they maintain a level of, you say, even professionalism, sense of formality. That's why they're here for decades. That they are very nice to everybody. They're usually good people. But at the same time, also they maintain a level of a formality, because they want to do this for the long term, because their purpose is not coming there to socialize. Their purpose is for ibadah, for worship, right? So befriend the righteous. I mean, I'm just giving an example. Ulama, ahlullah, be, you know, that develop تعلقات زادوا. Remember, inshallah. The people said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم shall. The people said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Ya Rasulullah, shall we see our Lord on the day of resurrection? Qiyamah? The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Do you feel in trouble in seeing the moon on the night when it is full? We talked about this hadith previously. Does Ya Rasulullah know? He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Do you feel in trouble in seeing the sun when there is no cloud over it? They said, No, Ya Rasulullah. Verily, you could see him like this. Allah will gather people on the day of resurrection and say, Let every people follow what they worship. Those who worship the sun will follow the sun, and those who worship the moon will follow the moon, and those who worship the devils would follow the devils. This ummah alone would be left behind, and there will be a hypocrite too among it. Allah would then come to them in a form other than his own form, recognizable to them, and would say, I'm your Lord. They would say, We take refuge with Allah. This is the translation. Could have been probably translated better. We will stay here till our Lord comes to us. And when our Lord would come, we would recognize him. Subsequently, Allah would come to them in his own form, recognizable to them, and say, I am your Lord. And they would say, Thou art our Lord. And they would follow him, and a bridge would be set over the hell. And the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my ummah, would be the first to pass over it. And none but the messengers would speak on that day. And the prayer of the messengers on that day would be, O Allah, grant safety in hell. There would be long spits like thorns of Sa'dan. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Have you seen Sa'dan? They replied, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Verily, those hooks would be like the thorns of Sa'dan, but no one would knows their size except Allah. These would seize people from their misdeeds. Some of them would escape by their for their good deeds and would be rewarded for their deeds till they get salvation. When Allah had finished judging his bondmen and because of his mercy decides to take out of hell such people as he pleases, he would command the angels to bring out those who had not associated anything with Allah, to whom Allah decided to show mercy. Then the angels would recognize them in the fire by their marks of sajda. For the hellfire would devour, except for the mark of sajda. Allah has forbidden the fire to consume the marks of sajda. This will be taken out of fire having been burnt, and the water of life would be poured over them. And there will sprout as seeds does in a slit, in a silt. Silt is like muddy water that the river, you know, the downpour, the flood, carried by the flood. Then Allah would finish judging among the bondsmen, but a man would be the last to enter paradise, will remain facing hell. So, Ya Rab, I turn my face away from hell, for its air has poisoned me, and its blaze has burned me. He will then call to Allah as long as Allah would wish that he should call at him. Then Allah, blessed and exalted, would say, If I did that, perhaps you would ask for more than that. He would say, I would not ask you more than this. Then he would give his Lord covenants and agreements as Allah wish, and he would turn his face away from the fire. When he turns towards a paradise and sees it, he remains silent as long as Allah wishes, and to remain so, he will then say, Ya Umar Rab, my Lord, bring me forward to the gate of paradise. Allah would say to him, Did you not give me covenants and agreements that you would not ask for anything besides what I have given you? Woe to thee, O son of Adam, how treacherous you are. He would say, My Lord, and would continue calling Allah till he would say to him, If I grant you that, perhaps you would ask for more. He replied, No, by thy greatness, and he will give his Lord promises and covenants as Allah had wished. He would then bring him to the gate of paradise, and he would stand at the gate of paradise and would lay open before him, and it will see his bounties and the joys, and there is there in it, and he remained quiet as long as Allah would desire him to remain silent. He would then say, Oh my Lord, admit me to paradise. Blessed and exalted would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did you not give covenants and agreements that you would not ask for anything more than what I have granted you? Woe to you, son of Adam, how treacherous you are. And he would say, Oh my Lord, I did not wish to be the most miserable of thy creatures. He would continue calling upon Allah till Allah, blessed and exalted, would laugh. Allah would then laugh at him. He would say, Enter the paradise. When he would enter, Allah would say, State your wish. He would express his wish till Allah would remind him of the desire of such and such a thing. When his desires would be exhausted, Allah would say, This is for thee, and besides it, the like of it also. Atta bin Yazid said, Sa'id bin Khudri was with Abu Huraira, and he did not reject anything from this hadith narrated by him. But when Abu Huraira narrated, Allah said that the man, it's like along with it. Abu Sa'id said, 10 like it along with it. Abu Huraira said, I do not remember except the words. Like that much, everything that he ever wished for, Allah will give me, I'll give you like that, and one more like exactly double, I'll double it. right? And he said, no, he narrated, Abu Sayyid Khudr radiallahu anhu said, no, 10 like that. This, that is, in his, like what he heard, that is for you and similar one along with it. Abu Sayyid said, I bear witness the fact that I remembered from Rasulullah SAW that it is for thee and 10 like it. Abu Hurairah said, that man was the last of those deserving of paradise to enter paradise. Right? That's it, inshallah, for today. We can reflect on the hadith, inshallah. So today was Munkar and Nakir, the Hawd Mizan, and also a image from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is there of the last person that will enter Jannah, and how he's, as the poem says, and say Allah the Great remove from his grace out of the fire people burned severely for their sins, who will then be tossed, thrown into this river of Infirdaus, or from the river from Firdaus, and they will regain as a river of this light, will give him life like a seedling. And the hadith mentioned that like he'll come on the bank, like grow like a person, like a plant grows like a little seedling when he gets water, and how it like it shoots like a little shoot, he'll grow like into a person again. And subhanAllah, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire of Jahannam, that we don't smell it or see it or go near it and enter directly into Jannah without hisab. We make this dua, Allahumma hasibna hisab and yasira. Allah, give us an easy reckoning, an easy accounting. If we a person who's asked, he's in trouble. As the hadith mentions, that the one who's asked, like an interrogation starts, then that person is in trouble. So therefore, we ask Allah for his maghfirah and his mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq.